You are listening to The Angry Geeks Show, an Angry Geeks Network presentation.
You're looking for trouble? You came to the right place.
I'm a karate man, right? Karate man rule on the inside. They don't show their weaknesses.
Ooh, yeah! Of course I knew. I just had no idea.
I'm so terrifical, I even had my own toll-free number. 1-800-UNBELIEVABLE.
Well, neither are you, very bad. That's an attention getter.
Textbook narcissism.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
And I'm all out of bubblegum.
And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
Thought she was going in a whole other direction with that.
Acknowledge me!
You may not like it, but accept it. Is that the way that it is?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I must obey.
You're not my supervisor!
Ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Do it, Tony. Come on. Take us home.
Ah, hell, we're gonna be on the internet.
This is the way.
Baffling.
Hey,
you better not be talking to
those
invisible animals.
I'm balanced, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are, yeah.
Sweet mama!
Angry Geeks show brought to you by Meat So Horny. Just one taste is all you will need to know their rub sauces and salts are worth the squirt. Whether you are working a plump rump, thick legs, or need a general rub for your chub, Meat So Horny has the spices, marinades, and rubs for you. Visit meatsohorny.com now. Meat So Horny is Angry Geeks approved. Visit meatsohorny.com today. Angry Geeks Show partnered with Pleasant View Comics. Pleasant Comics is trusted by more than 20,000 eBay shoppers with over 50,000 items sold 100% positive feed. Pleasant View Comics, your favorite eBay seller today. High grade Marvel, DC, and more Pleasant View Comics. Angry Geeks approved.
Oh my god, look at you! You're all purple. Why are you purple? You're pink. I'm colorblind. Nice to meet you, pink. Wow. Y'all are here for the meeting of the minds, right? Oh, look at you. They're awesome. Hi, how you doing? What's your name? Doesn't matter. Anyway. Well, the hearing impaired are here again. Hey. Hi. I remember you from the other night. You guys are all easy. Calm down. You guys are here for Phineas and Ferb, right? Yeah! Y'all are in the wrong room. Yeah. Didn't they tell you? Bob, I want no, this is Bob, everybody. Say hi to Bob. Bob messes crap up. He does. Bob's been in so many panels so far, and he messed everyone up. So if anything goes wrong, blame Bob. All right, so before our panel starts, no videotaping, no live streaming, okay? You take photos, but you can't live stream, you can't videotape. If we see you videotaping, you're gonna be asked to stop. My man Kent's gonna come over and say, hey, stop. So without further ado, we're gonna bring out David Origio, Olivia Olsen, and Vincent Martellina.
Hello.
Hello. Whoa, hey, wait a minute. For those
you
of you.
Don't tell us what to do.
Okay. Those of you who've been to some of my earlier panels know we got special Angry Geeks rules. And you guys have been. And those rules are not set by me, but by you guys. So, What questions are you tired of answering?
Whoa.
Don't want to answer.
There are too many people asking me what my favorite flavor of sherbet is.
Okay, that's one. Don't ask that question. Can't answer, or just like, I answered that so many times, I don't want to answer it again. Let the audience know now.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything off limits in terms like that. I've been asked too much about the show. Yeah, it's fine.
All right, you got it? Good?
Yeah.
All right, if you have a question, I want you guys to... Let me do my job, young man! What the... I know him from like 3 years ago. He doesn't matter. And you, what? Oh my God. All right, I need my volunteer. Can you please come up here? They're not going to, yes. Oh my God. And don't, not, you're not my volunteer. Sit down. My Lord. All right, let's start with the little guy up front, not letting me do my job. What's your name? Put it. Okay, what's your name?
Hold, please. We're having technical difficulties.
There you go. What's your name? Hurry up. They're busy people. They got autographs to sign.
Okay, my name
You'd
is
be Dan. Nice to them.
Okay, my name is Daniel, and what is it like working with Dan Poffenmeyer?
They can't answer that question. We're sorry. Next.
Take it away, Vince.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been working with Dan since I was probably just a little bit older than you. I was like 13 years old when I started working with him. And so it's been awesome. I've known him for a really long time. He's hilarious. I feel like you probably watch him all the time on TikTok, and that's why you're asking. Is that why you're asking? Yeah, he's hysterical and super talented, and yeah, I've been working with him forever. So is Olivia, but Olivia works with him in like different ways now too. She writes music for the show. She writes our scripts and stuff. So yeah, so
she's like pretty and smart.
We are well underway writing the new seasons right now. So it's just really great to be able to sort of reimagine, but also bring back, you know, the core things about these characters. We're going to try to make it as true to the originals as possible, and it is that Dan Povenmire Swampy Marsh humor that really is the heart of the whole series. Yeah. So,
I adore those guys. Like, they make it feel familial. Yes. Like, you feel like you're a member of the family. They want you in like this big metaphorical hug that they bring to the room.
All right, next question. What's your name?
Brandon. Two things. One, we gotta do the Phineas and Ferb chat. Ready? One, two, three. Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb. Perfect.
Is that a thing?
I didn't know that existed. Yeah, I never heard that.
Watch it.
Okay.
And two, if the adventures were real, which one would you go on and why?
Oh, if their adventures were real.
I want to go to the second dimension.
Ooh. Right.
That's a dark place, though.
I think I would definitely want to help them deliver the Christmas presents.
That would
be me.
Working with Santa, that would be it.
That would be your four, you know.
Yeah.
You next. Hi, what's your name?
Yeah, I was
Nicholas?
Agreeing
with David.
Yeah, Christmas episode for sure.
Nicholas?
Hi, Nicholas.
I probably asked one of these before, but what's like we're working with so as a group.
You can't stand each other.
Oh. She smells so bad.
We're enemies.
That's the worst.
Yeah, honestly, it's all of us record by ourselves. We don't actually group record for Phineas and Ferb, but we've been lucky that we've gotten to know each other throughout the years of working together, and we get to spend time together doing other things that outside of work, which is great. And
we get to hang out at Comic-Con.
And we get to hang out at Comic-Con.
The best part. Yeah.
We legitimately get to work together more doing these panels.
Than actually recording the show, just because we all record separately. Yeah.
But we cross paths in the recording studio.
As much as I try not to, I cross paths with all of you guys, yeah.
All right, next question. What's your name?
Blake.
Are you sure?
No.
What's your question?
I was wondering for each of you, what is your guys' favorite song that's in Phineas and Ferb?
Ooh.
I really
there's so many.
I love Ain't Got Rhythm, and I think I'm a little biased because I got to sing in We're Back, which was marketing for Candace Against the Universe. But I love that song. Like, it's so stinking catchy.
I love the classic Gitchy Gitchy Goo. You know, it came and went too soon. The one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, Gitchy Gitchy Goo is great. I love Summer Belongs to You. I think that's one of the best songs that they've written for the show. And they let me sing part of it.
And My New Best Friend and Me, is that what it's called? From Second Dimension, where Doof is singing with himself?
Oh, yeah.
I take that back. Squirrels in My Pants.
Oh, they cheered for your choice.
Apparently a crowd pleaser, the Squirrels in My Pants.
Well, we got a lot of questions here. Okay, what's your name?
I'm Solomon.
Hi.
A lot of people, I'm sure like most of us in this room, only know what a tip of a shoelace is called from the show. So when you see people like in the wild singing your songs, what does that feel like?
I don't know if I've ever seen someone in the wild. singing Phineas and Ferb, but...
Like Pokemon hunting?
Yeah.
You're singing Aglet.
I'm closest is they were at Disneyland in California for a while. They had like a Phineas and Ferb dance party. And they would kind of like go around with the characters, with like the walk around characters. And they would play some of the music from the show. And so like, that's the only time that I've seen, you know, people in the wild. So, singing the songs is because the songs were being played, so that's when I observed them in their natural habitat.
Seeing everybody sing things on like TikTok and stuff like that though is just
the TikTok
it's as equally fun.
Or like at a Bowling for Soup show and they're doing it.
Have
and
you
the
been
whole
to a Bowling
crowd.
For Soup show?
No, but like the videos.
Videos of the whole crowd.
Sorry, like, oh my god, how did I not know that? Yeah.
But like I went back and visited my high school in Montana. I was visiting my sister and I stopped by the school. And they that year had done the theme song in choir. So when I came in and they were like, wait, you're what? Can we sing it for you? And so the choir sang it and I sang it with them, and that was a really
cool
time.
Okay. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Dana. Or you might know me as Bubbles.
Yay.
So we've heard what your favorite songs are. Is there perhaps a song that you've heard one too many times from the show?
I don't think so. No, I haven't nothing's worn out its welcome with me.
They're so catchy that they don't feel bad.
I feel like none of them are really long enough to truly grate your nerves either.
Yeah. Because I even still love the 2 second Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated little jingle. And that one's in every episode, pretty much.
And every different permutation of it.
Yeah, permutation.
Picking up books from my dad's house.
That's when you curl your hair, right?
Whoa.
After hours.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Hey, buddy, what's your name?
My name is Holden, and I have a question for just all of you. If you ever would switch characters, who would you play and why? Also, I love Busted, favorite song.
So if we were ever to switch characters, who would we want to play?
Yes.
Oh. I would want to be Ferb, because then I wouldn't have to do any work, really.
Whoa, that was a take!
Hey, I don't know why.
Hold on, though. You're right.
I mean, maybe Dr. Doofenshmirtz, because I think Dr. Doofenshmirtz is really, really funny. And he gets to battle Peter the Panda. And I love Peter the Panda.
Who Vincent also voices.
I also voice Peter the Panda, because Peter the Panda does not have a voice. I can play him. No one else can say that.
He delivers all the subtext.
I've said it. Yeah. I played Peter the Panda, everybody.
I think there's something really, really fun about Buford.
Yeah,
and
I think
that would be a fun role to like sink your teeth into, like tough gum or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think that'd be great.
All right. Before we get before we get to our next audience question, did you guys feel that the show, when you first started, was going to be this big of a hit, go on to a next season? I mean, when you read the script, you're like, hey, we got magic in a bottle here. Did you, any of you feel that way?
I knew it was. I'm not lying.
No, really?
Yeah, I mean, no, not to this extent, because I think we've all been really fortunate to, I mean, Phineas and Ferb is very, very successful and means a lot to a lot of different generations of, you know, both kids and just people in general. And
it's grown over the
and
years.
And it's grown, too. Yeah.
I'm glad that you separated out kids from people, too, because kids are definitely not people.
Kids are people. How many remember that song, Kids Are People, Too?
Yeah.
And in a lot, say they were going to make it movie into a live action movie. Besides you three playing your own character, who would you like to see play your character live?
I'm just trying to think of a live Phineas.
Yeah. Who would you like to see play your character's live action?
Gee, Herb, you're looking old today.
Yeah. I mean, the only person who I think could really pull it off would be Daniel Day-Lewis. Oscar number 4.
Yeah, and
I would clearly be Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Yeah. And
half the young people are like, who the heck are they talking about?
Gwendolyn Christie, right? She was the tall Brienne of Tarth. She's definitely Ferb.
We could probably get Timothy Chalamet to play Ferb. We could probably get him.
All right, next audience question. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Alyssa, and my question is, what started you guys in voice acting or being interested in that, and if there's any influences, other voice actors that have kind of impacted your career?
I started out in theater, and I was in New York, and I had a manager, and he got me a meeting with an on-camera commercial agent. And I spent like 45 minutes talking to this guy about a production of Avenue Q that I had done. And talking about the voices, talking about being able to do things that scared me because I had never puppeteered before that, but then I got great reviews. And at the end of the conversation with this guy, Doug, he kind of like takes me by the shoulders, walks me across the office, sits me down in front of another guy and goes, you two, talk. And the other guy was a guy named Matt, who was a voiceover agent. And he was like, yeah, we'll start sending you auditions. And I was like, wait, you're gonna let me do this without being a celebrity or a Broadway star? Thank you. And then getting to like actually start auditioning and everything, I just started to feel more and more like this is the thing that I have to be doing. And then the answer to the second part of your question is, Rob Paulsen has had a tremendous effect on my career. Let's clap for Rob. And he doesn't even know it. But because of his podcast, Talkin' Tunes, that's my cartoon university. I would run by the river in New York, and I would listen to an episode of the podcast and just do that for months on end before I moved to LA. So when I had an agency meeting, I was told later by one of my agents that the room was like, how did he know all that? He just got here. And it was a major, major effect on how I approached being a voice actor.
Olivia? I'm sorry, not Olivia. David. Long inside joke. No.
I got into voice acting through my failed music career.
I mean, it's
everybody.
You write music for.
We can blame it on Bob. We have Bob. Right, Bob, everything is on
my
Bob.
My failed pop stardom career, I would say. But no, I mean, I've been singing and acting since I was a little kid, and I really wanted to pursue music full time. But that's a very tough industry to be in, both you know, work wise, psychologically, it's a lot. So I sort of quit for a while, and my dad actually was one of the original writers on Phineas, and he always kind of encouraged me anytime they were doing songwriting. He's like, hey, Liv, can you demo this? So all of those season one, like, random female characters, like, that's me singing for the Bettys and Lindana, and they just ended up keeping it, and they're like, oh, you should do this. And so as I got Vanessa, I was heard on Phineas by the creator of Adventure Time. That's how I got Marceline.
Icon.
And meeting at Comic-Cons, like, other female voice actresses like Tara Strong, she really is somebody that inspired me to see that, oh, I could actually do this for a real career. This could be my thing. And I never turned back. Yeah. I found my niche. I wasn't supposed to be a pop star. Who wants that?
Yeah. I also, her failed pop star career is what got me into animation as well. No, I someone just kind of suggested that I do it while I was working on a sitcom when I was a teenager, like a live action show. And it was something I really liked doing, was doing a lot of different voices. And I worked on a Disney show that did not get picked up. Like, I did a pilot, and that kind of introduced me to what animation was and what it was like recording characters. And it's just kind of like a stepping stone sort of thing. Like, obviously, you know, we all have different experiences with it, but even with what Olivia was saying, where it was like, you know, you book one thing, it teaches you something or gets you into a room that leads you to something else. And that's how I ended up on Phineas and Ferb. And that was, yeah, that was just an incredible learning opportunity at the ages when we all, like, when we're all doing that, yeah.
All right, hi, what's your name? You were waiting very impatiently. What's your name?
My name is McKenna. What's your favorite kind of pasta?
Oh, I remember you. Oh my God,
that's
she
created.
Hold it. One second. She created chaos the other night with that question. Okay.
Really?
Yes.
That's the Italian.
I go tortellini. Like a three cheese tortellini is probably my favorite, personally. No chaos here. That was simple. That was easy.
I like a bow tie. I like a bow tie.
Like a cold pasta with a bow tie, then like a veggie pasta. Okay. Really interesting.
And I like pesto.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Ramen noodles.
No. You came here?
I don't know. probably ravioli. Like a cheese ravioli. Yeah.
Cheese? Okay. Yeah.
Thank God it didn't go to Angel Hair, because all heck would have broke loose in this room. Hi, back there. What's your name? Yeah, the top hat. Yep, there you go.
Bill. No, I'm just kidding. Jay. First of all, I grew up watching Phineas and Ferb, and getting to see you guys in person is honestly a culture shock and a half. I talked to Vincent the other day, and it was literally like meeting a piece of my childhood, and so you guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's very nice of you.
So I actually wanted to ask you guys that in the process of this revival, it is a revival, it's not a reboot, I assume. Is all of the episodes going to be self-contained, or are there going to be crossovers with Milo Murphy's Law and Hamster and Gretel, or maybe even a big three-way crossover between them as the series finale?
I think that would be Dan's dream.
Yeah, those are cool ideas.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing we would get to an Owl House Amphibia Gravity Falls crossover, so let me live my dream.
I guess Olivia would be the best to ask here, because Olivia is writing on the new seasons right now, so she would know. And can spoil
I
that.
Will get fired,
yeah,
if I answer that.
I don't know.
But I do know that is a great idea, and that would be Dan's like dream come true if he did a big three-way crossover.
Wait, does Dan enjoy the shows?
Before we get to our next question, that's what I was going to ask. Do you guys... Now, this is going to be not touchy. A lot of anime actors actually don't watch their shows. Big gasp. Do you guys actually watch your episodes?
I watch almost everything I'm in, and you better believe when Tiny Toons Luniversity comes out, I will be watching the crap out of that show.
Okay, all right, cool. Because I do, I work with, please don't ask me about my show, I don't watch it. I go, neither do I, we got something in common.
I mean, back in the day, I definitely watched it here and there in preparation for being like in the writer's room now. I binged a ton of them over the last couple of months, and it's just like, I forget how funny and complex these shows were. And I mean, you can kind of see how a lot of the jokes were sort of like pitched to the parents and the kids, but it's like such a good balance that's still so wholesome too. Like, there was never anything bad in the jokes, but they were just complex humor, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch everything that I work on. I don't love watching anything live action that I do. It makes it pretty difficult for me to not just wonder why they took what take they took or whatever. But when it's a character voice that I'm doing, when it's not like my own voice, it makes it way easier for me to enjoy it. And I mean, I love Phineas and Ferb in general, and like this show means so much to me personally. Okay. that I try to watch them all. Yeah, for sure. I've definitely seen all of Phineas and Ferb, and a lot of cartoons I do I'll watch, but I don't watch all of them if I feel like I'm gonna judge my performance too much or something like that. But yeah,
okay.
I've right, definitely thanks. Got a piggyback on Olivia's observation though. Like, I think the cross-generational appeal of the show is remarkable. And it does so without even going into much, like, innuendo.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the Disney stuff or Shrek or whatever, those films lean into innuendo, which is kind of interesting. And I'm not against it, but that's how they get the adult appeal. But there's, like, a wit to Dan and Swampy's humor and the writer's humor that makes it appealing to adults and accessible
like
to...
Like, things that went over my head, not because it was... that, but because I just was dumb.
and we've actually got a GoFundMe to send her to school. So
and with
that. Donate to that.
And with that, what's your name, little guy?
My name is Ezra. My question is, after you found out about Phineas and Ferb, why did you audition?
Why? Is that what you asked? You know, I wanted a job.
For the most part, I would say every actor takes every audition that they are sent on, because it's really a numbers game. Every single project will have probably 100 plus people reading for these roles.
You sure?
And it's just like trying to book a job, and you never know if something's going to be successful. You never know if you could film a pilot and it might not see the light of day. It's just, it's pure luck and what the fans and the networks think about it, really. It's like an equation to make a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I had a weird experience with it, too, because I auditioned and then did not get it for months and months. Like, it was probably 6 months by the time I auditioned to when I got it. And during that period, at one point, I went to Buena Vista Studios, which is like the original like Disney studios in Burbank, California. And I do remember being there for like a callback or something for Phineas and Ferb. And, you know, I was like 13 like when I started the show, but I was really excited about all the history that was on that studio. And I do remember telling my dad, who took me to the audition, where I was like, you know, if I could work anywhere when I grow up, I really want to work here. Like, this place is so amazing. And so that made me really excited about being able to work on something like Phineas and Ferb, was wanting to be a part of something with so much history and you know, to be on a Disney cartoon and do something influential for Disney. It means something to people, you know, and it meant something to me.
Well, and we were talking about the other day how cool it is and how rare the air is to have television animated characters in the parks.
Yeah, where they have like the walk around characters and stuff at like Disneyland and Disney World, and it's very, very rare to work on something where you get that, where they have that for you. So there was a lot of things to be excited about when Phineas and Ferb started, but because as actors we kind of just get auditions and we hope we book them a lot of times, there's not usually, like, at our level of career anyways, like, you know, when you're a big movie star, you get to decide every script that comes your way and go, I want this or I don't want this. But a lot of times you're excited to work on things with fun people, you know?
A lot of times for voiceover auditions, we don't even get to see what the characters look like.
Yeah.
So you sort of have to just go in completely blind and imagine whatever the paragraph is that is in the breakdown that says, oh, you know, 8-year-old boy who's smart and builds inventions, like, that's probably how they described it, and it's really what the actor can kind of bring with your own imagination to it, and then it all comes together at the end.
Those martinis kind of look like Phineas.
Before we get to our next audience question, we'll start with are you done?
Sir, this is our panel.
Yes, it is. It's your time, but I do have one question.
Go for it.
Okay, first, we'll start with Vincent. How did you find the voice of your character?
Yeah, you know, they, you know, Olivia was just talking about the breakdown that they give you. They, you know, gave me a paragraph about Phineas and how he's, you know, really smart and excited and kind and, you know, his... Yeah, he's very wholesome, yeah. But the way that he's smart is not snarky and, you know, cocky. Like, he's not smart in, like, a way where he thinks he's outsmarting anybody. And so I just wanted to do a voice that, like, naturally makes people happy and makes you kind of smile because it's so sweet and it's so nice.
He brings his smarts to, and he wants to share them with his friends.
Yeah, he's really excited about them and never even wants to get Candace in trouble. I just want Candace to have a great day.
And so it has to come off in a way that's very nice and genuine and not like he is happy that he's doing anything bad.
And with that in mind, what is your favorite line?
I don't know where this is going.
The bike.
Oh, yeah. With all that in mind, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. My favorite line is it, when Phineas actually does get angry, which happens like 3 times in the history of the show, is I yell at Candace to get on the trike, which I'm not going to do right now because it'll blow out my voice. But I yell at Candace to get on a tricycle, and I really love that line.
Well, and since Olivia just said, this is our panel, we're going to go with David. David, what is... How did you find your voice?
Well, the character of Vanessa was very much so written to be me, in a sense, of my dad saying, hey, can you do this? And it just was like, whatever, Dad.
What? My daughter says that, too. How many daughters say that? Whatever, Dad. No.
So, I mean, she was just an annoyed teenage girl who was, like, a little embarrassed with her dad, and I was that. So it was, you know, like life imitating art, really.
David.
And this is just how I sound. No, I had a template, yeah. Really. Like, I knew what he was going to sound like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next audience question. What's your name?
I go by Artie. I was wondering... Sorry if I freeze up.
No, it's okay. Breathe.
One, is there any other shows that you... are happy to have been on, excited, favorite even, outside of Phineas and Ferb? And also, are there any shows that would possibly be surprising for people to learn that you've been on? Like they didn't realize you were on.
I feel like David's got some pretty cool characters that he can finally talk about now.
Yeah.
There's some new stuff.
I'm really, really, really excited about Tiny Toons Luniversity.
Because as it turns out, I voice Plucky Duck, and a little sweet boy called Hampton J. Pig.
And with them coming in like 2 weeks on Max and Cartoon Network, those are some of the most fun sessions I have ever done in my life. And then as far as obscure, I will have to circle back to that.
I mean, I feel equally as passionate about my run on Adventure Time as well as Phineas and Ferb. Marceline is a really a character I'm super emotionally attached to. And, you know, it's really fun when you get to be a part of an ensemble record cast. So, like, on that show, we all got to record together, which is a different kind of energy when you're doing voice acting, which is just so much fun. But... besides that, I mean, that's really my main one that I love so much. But I will say that being a part of the Powerpuff Girl reboot was like a bit of a dream come true, even though it was not very well received.
I don't have anything. That stuff's way cooler. Next question.
Next.
He's Phineas. Come on. That's always going to be the biggest, greatest, most amazing thing.
I think pseudo-obscure because of the way that the crediting was. I don't think a lot of people know that I was Cubone in Detective Pikachu. So I think that surprises people a little bit, as noted by the...
I was like, really?
Wow. Shocked.
Yeah. What's your name?
I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Obviously, one of the main songs in the entirety of this series is 104 Days of Summer Vacation. How do you feel now that there aren't 104 days of summer vacation anymore?
You know, Dan was actually just talking about this in the writer's room because he was like, we just picked a random, like someone just Googled it back in 2006 or when they were doing it and they were like, oh, apparently it's 104. And then everyone's like, no, it's not. That would be awesome if kids did get that many days off.
I think I saw on his TikTok recently, he was like, you ever have a song that you wrote and that you got like placeholder lyrics and you're like, I'll go back to that and fix it. And everything just gets busy and you keep going. Well, this was that song, and then he cuts to one of those like Bowling for Soup concerts or whatever, and it is the theme song.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's mistakes. Not even intentional.
Yeah, mistakes just end up being the thing.
Iconic, yeah.
All right, next audience question. I saw a hand up.
Hi, I'm Jaden. I was wondering, how did you get to your voice acting career? And did you take any classes or lessons?
I take as many classes as I can, still. Still, yeah. I try to work with casting directors whenever I can. Because I've done things like, there's a woman named Meredith Lane who does a lot of really, really wonderful casting and voice direction out in Los Angeles. And I took a clinic with her, and then very shortly after, she put me up. Oh boy, what am I doing here? Why does it keep? Did
getting
I break
cut
it?
Off?
The Witcher: Nightmare of the Wolf. She put me in that as young Vesemir, which was really cool. And then she put me in Dota: Dragon's Blood. And then she put me in another project. And so like that networking part of the classes is great. And then other than that, like my theatrical training and my background was very, very helpful. Improv is really, really useful. I got a degree in theater in college. I did as much drama and choir in high school as I could fit into my schedule.
And the best education, I think, for voice acting is just working alongside other seasoned professionals.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned everything I know from these two right here. They're right.
You're
there, yes.
Welcome.
It's about, taking classes is great too. And yeah, I learned a lot just from the other actors I've watched work. And I've like asked to sit in before, like especially on Phineas and Ferb, because we have so many great voice actors as well as just like celebrity cameos. But I was like, can you schedule me near them so I can kind of see how they work?
I'll be sitting in on his sessions just so I can like teach him how to do it.
It's true.
Yeah, afterwards.
I can't record without David being like, that wasn't funny, do it again. And I have to do it until he's satisfied, really.
Legitimately, though, if there is one thing that I think is very important to impart on people is, like, the voice, like, it's a little V in terms of, if you were writing it out, it's a very little V for voice. And then it is a tower-sized A to emphasize how much more important the acting is. Get yourself an acting base underneath you, and then worry about the voice. Because you can have a career. We've all seen Yuri Lowenthal is downstairs, and we know who he is, and he's a prolific voice actor, right? He's someone who claims that he basically just uses his voice all the time. But his acting is so good that all of his characters are super distinct, whether he's just using his voice or not. And it makes a lot of sense. You look at a lot of the on-camera celebrities, right? And they can do incredible characters while still just being them and just using their natural equipment. That's what highlights the acting.
All right. Before we get to our next question from the audience, how do you maintain your voice? Live streaming every week for what I do, being in front of a crowd like I do, I know what I have to do, so I'm not coming. How do each one of you maintain your voice? How do you work out your voice? Because it takes a lot of work. You wake up in the morning, your throat is dry. Do you, each one of you, have a regimen to take care of your voice? And if so, what is it? How do you
take
care?
I wouldn't say I have a regimen, but I have to be extremely mindful about when I'm doing things and how intense it might be. Like on Adventure Time, I had to have a sit down and I had to say, can we stop doing the demonic battle scenes before the beautiful lullabies I have to sing? Because it was really hard, because if you're going up there and like I would do crazy shrieks and all kinds of things like that, and it really can tucker you out. Not even just your voice, but like
Plum tuckered.
I would get so tired after those rapports.
Yeah. Little demonic pump duck.
It's really, it can be, it's like what you said, there's a little V, but it's acting. You have to, like, you throw your whole body into it sometimes, depending on what it is you're doing. So I just, okay, oh, Vince.
I'm laughing about something else.
I have battle scenes I have to do.
You're very talented.
Also being a musician, I think I've learned a lot through the voice coaches that I've worked with in the music industry of, you know, vocal warm-ups are a really important thing, and just sort of spacing out my priorities to not overdo it.
All right.
Yeah.
It really depends on the project. Like, I will be real.
You have to thrash it.
Well, when I'm called in for a FURB session, I'm booked for 15 minutes. I come in and we shoot the breeze for about 8 minutes. Then I work for 3 minutes. And then we shoot the breeze for another 4 minutes and I leave. So I don't really have to warm up for that.
Okay.
But Tiny Toons, I leave those sessions dripping with sweat.
Okay.
And so it's physical, it's big, you're getting those Looney Tunes style screams. It is so big in terms of the performance. So more often than not, when I go, or before I go into those sessions, I use a Frank Sinatra album to warm up.
Really?
There's this album, Classic Sinatra, and it's low in my register, so it helps me to warm up gently. And then as it goes on, you know, I start to project more and I have more malleability in my chords, and, you know, it's just a great way for me to warm up. And I do it second nature. I'll be just going around making breakfast, whatever, in my place, or straighten it up, or if I'm writing to my session, I'll sing it. And
what a cute little baby. Cute little sleepy baby. I will say something that actually kind of helped me with my singing was voice acting, though. Like, getting to do these, like, battle screams and things like that, I was like, I didn't know I could hit that note. So, you know, voice acting has really, like, taken me to new heights with that, I guess, of seeing, like, what you can actually do, what physically can come out of you. It's crazy. It's very physical.
Yeah. No, I actually use to do Phineas, I use Bob Dylan, actually, because it's the same.
There you go.
It's at the same register. Yeah, it's the same register.
How does it feel?
Yeah, so I do like a Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits on the way to the studio. Or
I love that so much.
Yeah, but I have to really warm up my voice before I do Phineas, because it's so high in my register. But I use like Tambourine Man and like a Rolling Stone.
All right.
They're also long enough too, where now I'm like warming up for like, you know, 15 minutes with like two songs, so it's great.
All right, we have time for our, what we like to call, our last audience question. What's your name?
No pressure. Hi, I'm Liam.
Liam, we saved you for the last.
And this is for all three of you. As voice actors, do you find it's better to have a blank slate to find the voice for a character, or do you want turnarounds and synopsis?
Oh, as much information as I could possibly get.
I want it all, for sure. I want to break down. I want the art. The art is so important, I feel like. And when I don't, because once you know what something looks like, you can, it helps you better picture what kind of energy and voice you want to give them. Sometimes you want to do the polar opposite of what you think they might sound like for comedy, but yeah.
Like, you know when you read a book and you have the character in your brain of what this book character looks like, and then you see the movie and you're like, that's not it. You know, that's kind of how it is if you don't get to see the art style, because like you're imagining something completely different. Is it a 3D cutesy character? Is it like a dark, more flat? Like you don't know what the tone is of the show without seeing what that art style is.
Yeah. I'm gonna agree, and then also, there is a point where there's diminishing returns, in my opinion. When I see a 2-page character breakdown, I'm out. I'm out. I
get those often?
You see it in interactive a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It feels, so there's like this weird balance. To me, this much on the page is about right, especially if you've got a picture. Because otherwise, I don't know, I feel like I'm then trying to micromanage it into too small of a box when I've got too much text. And I like having that freedom. And then, like, when they throw you incidentals in a session or whatever, they're like, it's this guy, and he looks like this. I don't have to know anything. I just want to play. Let's do it. Let's, because it's only three lines probably. If let's figure out what that voice is, and let's let the world be our playground.
All right.
So nice.
Before we wrap up, I am what I like to call a shenanigist. It's a made-up word. I like the shenanigans. I really want to. Oh, he woke up. I wanted to play a joke on that guy because he fell asleep. But he woke up. I mean, we had a lady knitting and we had a guy sleeping, and I really wanted to, you ever see the video of the kid sleeping and everyone's clapping and he woke up and clapped? I wanted to do something to him, but you wrecked it, buddy. Anyhow.
But we love you.
I know we still love you, but you fell asleep.
I
slept
yesterday.
Oh, okay, anyway. Round of applause for our guests.
Thanks, everybody, thank you.
And what I would like you to do, please, if you haven't already, do so again. Go down to their tables. They are in the ice arena. Go say hi. Get an autograph. Get a picture. Buy something. And remember, a smile's always free, right? But you can send me a check for their smiles. Go and say hi, please, because these are some welcome cats. They came here to see you guys. You got to remember that. So once again, give them a great big Colorado Springs 23. Round of applause. Thank you.
It's the Angry Geek Show.